In marriage, husbands and wives will disagree on many things, and sometimes the issue is giving. Hi, I'm Rob West. Giving can be an especially difficult topic for some couples because it involves two issues that are often contentious in their own right, money and faith. Ron Blue joins us today with advice for couples who disagree on giving. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, if you're new to Faith and Finance, you may not know that Ron Blue is the founder of Kingdom Advisors, our parent organization. He's also the author of a shelf full of books on biblical finance. He's one of my mentors and a great friend. Ron, great to have you back.
Oh, always good, Rob. Looking forward to it again.
Ron, we're getting into the time of year when folks begin thinking about year-end giving, and maybe for some couples, giving in general has been a point of contention all year. You've had some personal experience with this that's helped shape how you counsel couples with this challenge. Share that with us.
Well, you know, I have found in counseling people that this is a big area of potential disagreement, and Judy became a Christian 2 years before I did. And she mentioned tithing, and I about went through the roof. There was no way. I earned that money. It was my money.
Yes.
And Judy, very wisely, she didn't say anything about it, and she didn't ask again. But she lived out a life that was so compelling that eventually it led me to the Lord, and then tithing and giving became a normal part of our financial life. For sure. But,
yes.
But we had some rough moments there for a couple of years.
Oh, I can imagine. But obviously, that made a profound impact on you, ultimately you coming to Christ. And I'd love to know how her decision not to press this issue of giving now informs how you counsel other couples.
Well, many times if I'm asked this question a lot when I speak, and, you know, unfortunately, it's typically the wife will come up and say, you know, I'm saved. My husband's not.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to tithe, and I feel like it's biblical to tithe. And my counsel is, well, your relationship, I believe, is the most important thing. So I don't think it's the tithe that's the real issue. It is how you demonstrate a life in Christ. And I would not, you know, the Bible says to be mutually submissive to one another. So in a marriage relationship, I would tend to say, go to the lowest common denominator when it comes to this particular topic. It's not true of all topics, but it is. That's my counsel on this. Just because of my personal experience, I'm not sure I'd have ever considered becoming a believer had Judy not backed off on that issue with me.
Yeah, that's powerful. God's plan, of course, is oneness in marriage, and this issue could actually interfere with him hearing the gospel, and I know that was true in your situation. Ron, what about when both spouses are believers, and yet they still disagree about giving? How would you counsel them?
Well, there are several ways that you could do it. One is that you could separate out the amounts that are given. Now I'm talking probably beyond the tithe.
Okay.
My own personal belief is that the tithe is the beginning point of giving. So let's assume people are giving beyond that. Probably the most practical thing that I've seen where there's real disagreement is where a husband and wife, maybe they have things that they agree on, fine, but where they disagree, that they set up an amount in each of their accounts, we'll call it, where you give the dissenting spouse an opportunity to give to the things that he or she really feels passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, I'll come back to the relationship, and I think that that's the most important thing. So it's not a fight, and it's not I give in, therefore you lose.
Yes.
It's how can we have a win-win situation where we're both doing that? And I believe it's very legitimate for husbands and wives to have different interests due to experience and due to different personalities. And So, you know, I know that when certain prayer letters come to our house, I know what Judy's response is going to be.
Exactly.
We're going to get to that.
I love your approach because it allows us each to bring our own wiring and passions to the table and yet keep the relationship at the center, which you've said multiple times, and I think that's absolutely the key. Ron, we're out of time. Thanks for giving us some counsel in this area. We're grateful.
Well, that was good counsel that you just gave, Rob, so follow it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ron. We'll be back with your questions. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's one of the oldest questions known to mankind. Ink has been spilled, trees have been cut, trying to get to the heart of the matter. It's quite perplexing. I'm sorry to tell you, I won't have an answer for you over the next minute, but I do have hope when bad things happen to God's people. Why? Because it never catches God by surprise. In fact, he uses our suffering for our good. James 1:3 telling us that we should consider it joy when we face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Our trials and suffering are used to strengthen us in our faith. We don't understand everything, but thankfully God does. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. That's right. You've got a financial question. We want to point you back to God's Word, help you analyze and evaluate that decision in light of biblical truth, recognizing that, money is used as a gift from God, part of His creation, as a tool to accomplish His purposes. So we should give it generously and use it to provide for our families and, yes, enjoy it as well. So how do we apply the counsel of Scripture to our lifestyle, to our giving, to our saving, to our growing of God's money, and to paying down debt? Well, there are principles we can pull out, just like we talked about a moment ago on how you give together as a couple. We can apply these principles to all of the financial decisions and choices you have today. So what are you thinking about? Give us a call at 800 800-525-7000. Any financial question is in play today, 800-525-7000. Also, we'd love to hear from you if you have a testimony. Perhaps you've applied biblical wisdom in your financial life. Maybe you were in a real mess and God has allowed you to get beyond it. Maybe you're still in the midst of it, but you're seeing God working in your financial life. Or perhaps you've been faithful in applying these principles for a long time and you're experiencing the blessing and the joy that comes from that. You'd love to use that as an encouragement to others. If you have a testimony today, we'd love to hear that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. We started today by talking about when couples disagree on giving, and clearly this is an area that can be a real challenge for couples. We know that 70% of couples, based on the studies, will have conflict in marriage around money decisions and the money conversation. And clearly, this is an issue when it comes to the giving conversation as well. And so I so appreciate what Ron Blue shared today to hopefully provide some encouragement and some practical help on you and your spouse so you can get on the same page. You know, what we have to recognize is that we each bring our money backgrounds to the table. That's right. Your earliest memories of money probably have more to do with how you handle money today than anything else. And perhaps you've never considered that. Think about right now just some of your early memories of money and think about how perhaps that's informing how tightly you grip money today or how loosely you hold it. That plus your wiring, how God has wired you, it largely informs your money management. Now, here's the reality, is God puts two usually very different people together. The late Larry Burkett would often say, if God put two of the same people together, one would be unnecessary. And so we recognize that as we bring our different money personalities and backgrounds to the table, well, it can create conflict. So a starting point is to have understanding. That's right, understanding what you're each bringing to the table so that you can appreciate where your spouse is coming from and work together. But here's the key. Once you have that understanding, it's really important for you to nail down your values. Where is God taking you in your financial life, and how can money be a tool to accomplish your shared goals that are based on your values and priorities as a believer? And here's the reality. God's design for marriage is, of course, oneness, and that includes the money area. That's under God's purview as well, because it all belongs to Him and we're His stewards. So perhaps having a time where you come together to understand each other and then define your values and priorities and then create a plan that supports those, because money is ultimately a tool to accomplish goals informed by our values, and then communicating regularly, perhaps with a weekly or a monthly money date, and creating a spending plan that reflects both of you driving toward those values, but also giving you the guardrails, because the budget can be an instrument of peace if you use it properly, because it allows you to each have your own perhaps spending money. It allows you to stay focused on your goals. But the key is, and this is one of the big ideas in terms of overcoming conflict in marriage around money, you need cushion. And the only way you're going to have a surplus at the end of the month is if you have a plan. You give every dollar a job, and you make sure that you're staying on budget, living within your means. And if you do that, seek out understanding, come together and communicate, create a plan based on your values, and live within your means and have some cushion, I can promise you, you will go a long way to having unity in your marriage, even in this area of money management. Try it today and let us know what God does as you lean into that. All right, let's take some phone calls today. It looks like we have just a couple of lines open, so perhaps room for your financial question today, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Call right now. All right, let's begin today in Los Angeles. Excuse me, it's going to be probably Louisiana. Bob, go ahead.
Yes, I'm retired and been retired a couple of years now. I'm 68. My wife and I are thinking about moving to another area where the housing is about probably 30 to 35% higher. We have our home now paid for, but to move into the similar size home, it would require us to spend probably another $100,000.
Yeah.
My question is, do I really wouldn't like to have a house note, but do I go ahead and get a mortgage, or do I take that $100,000 out of my savings?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bob, and I think you're thinking about this the right way. Let me just ask a few questions and see if we can get to a good path forward here. What are you living on currently? What are your income sources?
Right now, we have just my our combined retirement. All of my wife and I, we spent hers down on some home improvement things, but we have about $4,000 coming in per month total for from Social Security. Okay. And then we have about $900,000 we can draw from in our savings or in our, you know, retirement account.
All right. And how much are you pulling
right
from
now,
that monthly?
Right. And right now we're not pulling much. We're really pulling that pretty much as needed. The $4,000 has been pretty adequate for our needs.
Okay. Yeah. And do you have any reason to believe, I mean, apart from some expensive long-term care or something like that, do you have any reason to believe your expenses are going up?
No, not really. And we're in good health. You know, we're in good shape. And so we do give generously. We support our church and also several mission organizations as well. And then give, you know, where we'd love to give where we can.
Great. So, I mean, you've got this $900,000, and the great thing is you've lived modestly. Now, obviously, if you have to increase your expenses because you've got to either, you know, cover the mortgage or come out of the investments, you know, the $4,000 isn't going to be enough to service that mortgage. So you'd either have to begin drawing from the retirement account to service the $100,000 mortgage, or you're just going to have to take a lump sum out. Is that correct?
Right. And I know the tax burden is going to be roughly, you know, 25% or so, counting state and feds on that.
Well, here's the direction that I would go is I would consider drawing that out of the retirement plan, because here's the reality is the mortgage interest rates right now are, you know, 8%. And so the question would be, can you get a guaranteed 8% on your investments? The answer is, of course, no, if you want it guaranteed. And it is a guaranteed cost of 8% if you get the mortgage. So I think right now, especially since you've got a healthy retirement at $900,000, you're living modestly, you don't need it, I'd go ahead and draw that out. Just talk to your CPA about whether it's best to take that over one tax year or two. You could take half this year and half next year to spread it out. That may keep the tax burden down. But I think pulling that out, given where interest rates are, makes a lot of sense. Let's finish off the air. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, we've got some lines open today for your financial question. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We'll be talking to Harriet in just a moment. But first, I had a chance to talk to Bob off the air during that break. And Bob was asking about his required minimum distribution when he gets to age 73 and whether he should wait till the end of the year. I generally recommend if you don't need the money on a monthly basis, you might as well wait until the end of the year to pull that out. But I mentioned to him something that I think he was already familiar with, but I want to use this opportunity to remind you about the qualified charitable distribution. You know, if you are in that season of life, and I realize it's older now than it has been, but where you have a required minimum and you're doing your giving out of cash, so you're using after-tax dollars to give to your local church or to a ministry like American Family Radio, you have the opportunity, especially if you don't need that required minimum, you're only taking it out because the IRS has told you that you have to, perhaps you swap the after-tax cash giving with giving from your IRA. So even if you didn't want to increase your giving, if you have money in an IRA, you would otherwise have to take a required minimum. Perhaps you have that sent directly to your church or charity or favorite ministry in lieu of the cash you would have sent. And that way you're satisfying a required minimum and you're not adding that to your taxable income, especially if you don't need the money. So you would just call your custodian, whoever has your account, let them know you want to do a qualified charitable distribution. They'll give you the paperwork to ensure that it goes direct to the ministry and not to you, which becomes a charitable distribution, and let the ministry know that it's coming so that they're ready for it. But it's a great and often underutilized tool that folks aren't aware of, especially in that season of life where you have a required minimum. All right, back to the phones we go. We've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000. Call right now with your financial questions. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Harriet. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question was, my dad had left some of his investment to my grandson, and it's currently in a UTMA account. And my understanding is when he turns 18, that automatically, you know, goes to him.
Yes.
Are there other alternatives for that?
There really aren't, because once that was put into the UTMA account, it is designated for the minor's benefit, and the laws say that for a UGMA and a UTMA, whatever your state's age of majority is, it becomes their asset, which is why I will often just at least ask folks to think about whether that's their desire, because given the choice, a lot of folks would rather keep it in an account in their name, perhaps earmarked for the child, even invested. They still have the tax burden, but they get to choose the time and place of the transfer of the asset to ensure that the child has the spiritual and financial maturity to handle it. The only downside to the UGMA and UTMA is that although there are some benefits in terms of the tax event, they do have that asset and complete control over it at the age of majority. So that is going to be a reality. I think the key is just to manage it wisely and prepare them as best you can to handle that when the time comes.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
All right, Harriet. Hey, God bless you, and thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a couple of lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about financially. Give us a call. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. By the way, you know, we talk a lot about kids and money here on this program because we're all preparing, if you have kids, future adults that need to not only be financially literate in terms of being ready to handle God's money, but also they need to understand a biblical worldview of money. And, you know, I think those are equally as important. I think perhaps the God's view of handling money is perhaps more important, but we need to be thinking about the fact that more is caught than taught. And so modeling good financial practices and disciplines alongside talking about this idea of a biblical worldview of money management is so key as you prepare your kids to launch and handle God's money wisely. Hey, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Oklahoma next. Hi, Christy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, my question is, my husband has a former 401k from another employer. He's not able right now to add to that 401k. And with the market and the being so uncertain and the dollar basically on its way to collapsing, my question is, should we roll it into a Roth IRA and withdraw the money so that we can distribute it for charitable donations and for our necessities?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, so you've got it in a traditional 401k. It's not the Roth 401k. Is that right currently?
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and how much is in that 401k right now?
I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. My husband recently had some medical issues, and so he's not been able to keep focus on that.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, is it more than $100,000?
No, I think it's around 20.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so, you know, the key here is the only thing you can do to avoid a taxable event would be, well, you could leave it there. The second thing you could do would be to roll it out to an IRA because it's a previous employer. So once you separate from employment, you have the ability to transfer that out to a traditional IRA. Now, if you convert it to a Roth, you're going to pay all the tax on it. So that traditional IRA to Roth IRA conversion is a taxable event. And so you would add all of that income that you're converting to the Roth to your taxable income for the year. So if your plan was just to withdraw it, there's not a need to convert it to the Roth because it doesn't save you any taxes. Because in both cases, taking a distribution or converting it is going to be a taxable event. Is that your plan, just to go ahead and pull it out, or do you want to keep a portion of it growing?
It's my hope, because of all the uncertainty with the dollar and the market, is to just withdraw it.
Okay. So if that's what you wanted to do, I would say just take that withdrawal. No benefit of converting it to a Roth. Let's do this, though. I'd love to just unpack that a bit more, if you're able to hold, just on the other side of this break, and talk about how to think about investing in the midst of the uncertainty. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Snickers is running an unnecessarily vulgar commercial that makes light of sin and swinging. The commercial features 2 couples playing a board game where a misunderstanding leads to one person expressing interest in wife swapping. It's poor taste to make light of such an indecent topic, especially when aired on family-friendly television. Join us at 1 Million Moms to get Snickers to stop its inappropriate marketing campaigns. Sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you today with a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to be headed to Texas to talk to Manuel in a moment. But first, before the break, we were talking to Christy in Oklahoma. Christy's concerned about the direction of the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar for good reason. She has her husband has a previous employer where there's a 401k with perhaps around $20,000 in it. She'd like to go ahead and just pull that money out. And she was talking about perhaps a Roth conversion. Christy, I was saying before the break that if your plan is just to withdraw it, there's not a need to do the Roth conversion. Either is going to be a taxable event, so you might as well just take the distribution. I guess my only question is just, you know, is that the best choice at this point? And here's why. First of all, I completely agree. We've got some real headwinds, some real challenges in this country with regard to, you know, our federal spending, with the regard to the national debt, with regard to just our monetary policy, which does affect the U.S. dollar. I agree with all of that. But we also have high inflation, which means your purchasing power on every dollar is losing value. Unless you're growing that wealth. And I still think, despite what you said, and again, I concur with a lot of it, that the very best way to overcome that is to invest in real companies creating value for their shareholders and trying to grow that wealth despite those challenges. Now, we need to pray and repent and vote in godly leaders who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation, that mankind was created to be a blessing and that we were to take God's created order and improve it. And that productivity is a virtuous cycle that creates economic expansion and gives us even the ability to give back to the Lord that gave it to us because it's all His. And that, you know, that virtuous cycle is part of God's design. And I think, you know, inherent in our founding fathers, the decisions they made, that's, you know, part of God's blessing that we've seen on this nation and why we just took off like a rocket ship in terms of our economy and surpassed nations that were, you know, thousands of years older. Now, is that going to continue to hold true in the future? Well, we don't know. What we do know is that we're still today the largest economy in the world. We know today that there is no other rival for the U.S. dollar, despite the challenges we have here in this country and and the monetary policy and fiscal policy that we've had, even the BRICS countries, you know, in their announcement that they're going to use the gold standard. The question is, are they really going to do it? And most believe they won't. You know, it's one thing to stand at the altar and make vows to your, new spouse. It's another thing to live out those vows on a daily basis. And that's where we are in the countries that are behind BRICS. I have a lot of reason to believe are not going to make good on that promise. And so I think given all of that, there really is no, at least at this point, viable alternative to the U.S. dollar globally. So, given all of that, I guess what I would say to you is, if you don't have a use for this money, again, I think the very best way for you at this point to grow this money and offset the effects of inflation would be to keep it invested, not pay the tax on it, keep it in a taxable and tax-deferred environment, and invest it in quality investments. But I just wanted to throw that out. Obviously, you're the steward and ultimately need to make this call, but I just wanted to at least give you that perspective. Is that helpful at all?
It's very helpful, and I thank you so much.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Christy. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Texas. Manuel, thanks for calling, sir. How can I help you?
How's it going? So my daughter is receiving a settlement from an accident we had in 2021, and I just want to know what the best course of action would be to save Manuel, money.
I'm so sorry to hear about that accident. What do you think the time horizon is on this money? I mean, when might
At
she need to use
years.
It?
At least 6 years.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
They want us. The insurance is requesting that we put the money away. I mean, in a bank account, in a savings account, or something, just in her name, but that she won't be able to have access to it until she's 18, unless some emergency comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. But in either case, it would be used for her benefit. So typically what would happen is you'd put that into a custodial account, like a UTMA or a UGMA account, that basically allows you, as the guardian to, invest that money. It's obviously designated for her benefit. And you're right, it does become her asset at the age of majority. So she'd be able to take whatever's remaining, hopefully some, amount higher than what you have today, and use it for whatever she wants at that point. I think the key is how to invest it at this point. And given that your time horizon is at least 6 years, I would say trying to grow it, conservatively makes a lot of sense. With an amount of $12,000, I'd probably look at putting it into just some high-quality mutual funds, stock mutual funds that, have reasonable expenses and a good track record and a good, management. You can either go with more of an indexed approach where you just capture the broad market indexes through ETFs, or you could use a managed mutual fund with a money manager that would try to outpace the indexes. You could also look at some of the faith-based investing options where, they're seeking to buy companies that create value for shareholders, but also, investments that, really are helping to create human flourishing and even a kingdom impact. So what thoughts do you have just on, investing this in mutual funds or ETFs?
I was thinking either or, I mean, even a CD or something that she could, I don't want it to just sit in a savings account and not grow when we have the ability to help it grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the decision you need to make is, do you want to take some risk and try to achieve a better rate of return, or do you want more of a guaranteed product? CDs right now are fairly attractive. The likelihood is you won't be able to get the rates you're seeing today, 5 years from now. And even if you locked it up in a 5-year CD, you're going to get a little bit less than you'd get even for a 1-year CD today. And a lot of that's just related to this inverted yield curve, which basically just says, we don't expect that rates will be where they are today 5 years from now. And so the bank's not willing to give you that money. So, on a 5-year CD, let's say you got 4.5%. Or you could invest it, recognizing that, yeah, you're taking some risk and we could, you know, head into a recession next year, perhaps. A lot of economists think we won't quite get to the technical definition of a recession, two negative quarters of GDP growth. But regardless, next year, I think, is still going to be challenging. And consequently, the market could go down. And therefore, you could actually see this 12,000 dip below 12,000 before it moves higher. But obviously, with that level of risk comes the potential for a greater return. So I think you just have to decide, are we willing to put this into the stock market and invest in, you know, a great mutual fund with plenty of diversification and a good long-term plan to try to grow this at a modest amount? Or would we rather just settle for more of a guaranteed product with FDIC insurance and, you know, be happy with our 4.5% a year? Which do you feel like is a better fit for you guys?
It's a gamble. So, I mean, risk, you do have to take some risk in order, you know.
Yeah.
So
let's do this. I'm going to send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. Stay on the line. I think it'll help you just kind of think through this and perhaps even use it as a time to talk with her about it and educate her. And then visit soundmindinvesting.org. I think they'll be a great resource for you. Manuel, thanks for your call.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show. It's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment. We've got some lines open for your financial question. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, some news out today from the Treasury Department. They've announced that the Series I bonds will pay 5.27% annual interest from today through April of 2024. So that's almost an increase of an entire 1 point from the previous 6 month rate of 4.3% annualized, which was put in place last May. Now, of course, the I bond interest is tied to the rate of inflation. So that new 5.27 interest rate is the fourth highest I bond rate since 1998. Now, does that mean you should run out and buy an I bond? No, not so fast. Here's the reality is that's basically comparable to what you can get in a 1 year CD or even close to what you could get in a high yield savings account. So I think given that, and because the fact that you'd have to leave the money in the I bond for a year. You can't touch it for 12 months. You can only put in up to $10,000 per year per person. But also, you'll pay a 3-month penalty if you pull that money out in less than 5 years. Given all of that, I think you're probably, with your short-term money, you know, with 1 to 3 year durations, you're probably better off putting that in a high-yield savings or a CD, because then you won't have that 3-month penalty. And I expect that the next rate change, which will come 6 months from now in April of 2024, will be lower, just given the fact that the Fed is so focused on bringing inflation down, and these I-bond rates with their composite interest rate is affected in part by CPI. And again, if CPI is headed down, you probably are not looking at a rate higher than 5.27. You're probably looking at something lower. So interesting data out. A lot of folks expected that 4.3 was going to continue to drop. And so interesting to see that it ticked up nearly a full percentage point. But again, I think for the reasons that I mentioned, I'd probably think about other options as you go out and look for compelling rates, which there are today, but for your short-term money. Hopefully that's helpful to you. All right, let's take some calls and questions today. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. We'd love to get to as many questions as we can. The number to call is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Back to the phones. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Gene. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. So my question is, I have 3 rental properties that are paid off, but I want to buy another one, and I didn't know what's the best way to use the equity from the houses or what to do.
Yeah, it's a great question. So you said the current properties that you have are free and clear. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Plus my home. So
yeah, very good. Yeah, I mean, obviously the most cost-effective is going to be to get a first mortgage on your primary residence. I wouldn't do that just because I'd like to view these rental properties as a business, keep them separate from your personal finances. You know, so if something were to come out of left field that, you know, created a financial hardship for you, you're not putting your primary residence at risk. So I would probably just, you know, get a mortgage on that next property as you're able, you know, as you find it. Now, do you have money to put down for a down payment, or would you need 100% of the purchase price through borrowing?
I would probably need 100% purchase price because I need some to do any repairs or fix up.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was looking at one that was going up for an auction here, and you know, but then it's scary with what the prices of houses are, you know, so trying to balance that out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging environment because prices are still high. We've got low inventory, and then we've got these, you know, interest rates that are really high as well. Because on a second property, you know, a rental property, you're probably looking at potentially 9% plus with that interest rate. So I think that's the key, is just seeing if you can make the numbers work, because you may need to borrow from a couple of your properties in order to make this happen. And you're just going to need to really count the cost of the debt service, the renovations, and just look at, you know, what you're throwing off in rental income. Now, are all of these 3 properties that you currently have rented?
Yes.
Okay.
My renter's always good, and they're easy to rent.
Great. And are you relying on that rental income for your personal expenses?
No, but we
okay.
With that in mind, my husband's, so he's 62, and so, you know, kind of looking ahead to retirement of having, you know, part of that income as our retirement income.
Sure, yeah. And how far away is that?
Well, he'd like to today, but probably 3 years.
Okay.
3-4 years. But, you know, again, you can't just retire and be done. You have to, you know, have something else to do.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Sure.
You know, so kind of just playing all those things in my mind and trying to decide what's the best way. Do I just stay content with what I have, having them paid off, and, you know, saving that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is just recognizing it's a challenging environment right now. and you've got a great situation because you're completely debt-free. You've got these three properties that are throwing off a good income, and you know, you've obviously have demonstrated that, you know, you can be a landlord and make it work for you. I think the question is whether you want to, during the remaining working years, you know, try to add to this portfolio. And in order to do that, you're going to have to, you know, take on some debt. So you probably end up with a couple of mortgages on two of the three properties to get to the number that you need in order to buy this next one, unless, you know, some of these are worth a good bit more and you could do it all on one of the properties. But, you know, obviously you'd have the ability to sell down the road. You know, I wouldn't see a kind of a housing crash. I mean, we don't have a bubble situation simply because the fact that we're still short on homes in this country by 2 to 3 million. And, you know, the millennials are now reaching age 30 and they're buying single family homes, and people are working remotely more frequently. And so they're moving out of the urban areas or to the, you know, the suburbs, and they're buying houses instead of renting apartments in big metropolitan cities. So I think given all of that, you know, you're probably not going to see a big decline in this housing market, you know, in between now and retirement. I think the question is, are you all wanting to try to build out that portfolio? And, you know, the good news is you can service the debt out of the rental income, and that's not taking anything away from you. So somebody else is helping you build equity. And the key is just kind of how this all plays out over the next 5 years, which potentially would give you, you know, a fourth asset in this mix, especially if you could, you know, try to pay that off as quickly as possible. So, you know, I don't see any problem with your plan here, Gene, and I would, you know, use the rental properties to get the funding to do it. I just think you need to really ask yourself, is this something else we want to take on? And kind of given everything we know about our finances and the state of the world, are we comfortable, you know, having this debt? And I think you all need to be in lockstep with each other about that before you do it.
And I am more than my husband is. He's like not a risk taker. And
yeah,
I am. And so sure. Then that kind of, you know, throws a little monkey in the wrench. And, yeah. But.
Well, one of my rules for borrowing is only borrow where the economic return is better than the economic cost. That certainly could be the case here. The second is that there's no other way to do it. It doesn't sound like there is. If you're going to buy it, you're going to have to borrow. And then third, you have spousal unity. So that one is probably the only question mark. I would make sure you have spousal unity before you do it. But if you guys decided to do it, you know, I think that's the way to do it. But I would just, you know, pray about it, talk about it before you guys make that decision. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your help.
All right, Gene. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Zach. Go ahead.
Hi, sir. My name is Zach. I was calling. I've got a quick question about, I have two previous employer retirement accounts. One is a 401k with $15,000. The other is an IRA with $1,200. I'm wanting to just withdraw this money and use it to pay off debt. What's my best way to do that for at least penalized?
Yeah. What is your age?
39.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive money because you're going to have the 10% penalty. So, you know, you're talking $16,000. So that's, you know, right off the top, you're going to have to pay $1,600 in penalties. And then that $16,000 is going to be added to your taxable income. So let's say, you know, you're going to end up paying, let's call it 32%, maybe that's around $5,000 of this goes to the government. So I guess the question would just be, is there any other way to pay off this debt and keep this money growing in that tax deferred environment? So you've got it 30 years from now and it's worth a lot more than it is today. And I think the other issue is, have you corrected the issue or problem that got you into debt in the first place? And often using a lump sum to pay it off just kind of takes the pressure off and doesn't force us to address the real problem. And again, I have no idea what the debt is or why you have it, but if it was consumptive spending beyond your means, I'd want to make sure you really, you know, considered your budget and whether you've got a spending plan that you can live within so that you don't, you know, call me a year from now or 6 months from now and say, Rob, the IRA and the 401k are gone, and guess what? The debt's back. So if it's credit card debt, I would contact first our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and see if you could get those interest rates down and get on a payment plan and work on your budget. and get that, you know, paid off 80% faster with a lot less toward interest. Again, ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and leave these intact. Obviously, if it, you know, there's something else going on, maybe that is the right thing to do. But just keep in mind, I want you to fix the problem that led to the debt in the first place. And I'd love for you to avoid taking that 30%+ haircut on this money as it comes out. I hope that's helpful, Zach, as you think and pray about this. Thanks for being on the program. That's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful for Jim and Robert and Devin. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.